Everybody doing all right? Hi, gals. Everybody doing okay? I didn't want to be, you know, exclusive there. I'm sorry about that. My name is Mark. And can you put up that picture again of me? So that's me pretty much every day, most days. And it kind of looks like right here. I think, if I remember right, that's the day I found out that Star Wars wasn't real. That's the day, yeah. So, I got to warn you up front. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a preacher. But what I am is a nerd, and specifically a Bible nerd. I love to dig into the Bible. I love to think about different parts of the Bible and what the people it was written to are thinking about. What kind of environment they had. You know, they had rulers and kings and all that stuff. They also had other nations around them that had different beliefs. So sometimes the Bible is kind of addressing one of those other beliefs in a way and saying, yep, this is what we believe. So that's where I'm coming from. So I hope it's okay with you guys. We nerd out just a little bit here. Maybe that much. That much? Oh, we'll see. All right. But first, I want to tell you a story about two friends of mine. So how many of you have been to the outdoor service? There you go. Yep, quite a few. The outdoor service, we have that big band shell that we rent, have all that space out there. We got a couple guitars, a bass player, full drum set. There's a keyboard, percussion, all this great stuff. They got singers. Michael comes up and gives his message. He's moving around, doing his thing. He's got all that space. We got people everywhere. We got people to the left. Can I hear the people to the left? There you go. People to the right? A little bit better. People in the middle? Yeah, all right. We got kids playing on the jungle gym there. And about 4 years ago, Mike Tressler, one of my friends, asked me if I would be willing to provide sound for this. And you know, I thought, I got 4 or 5 speakers, I got some mic cords, I got mics, you know, that sort of thing. You know, yeah, I suffer from this affliction that won't allow me to say I can't do something. Anybody else suffer from that? It's mainly, yeah, a lot of men raising their hands. It's kind of odd that way. I'm thinking, okay, I got 2 guitars, got a bass, full drum set, keyboards, percussionists sometimes, 3 singers. Michael wants to run around and do his thing. I got people to the left, people to the right, people in the center. The kids are playing. I mean, we got to make this happen, but it's big. It's a big thing. I have a small amount of gear, but it's a big thing. Luckily, I know a guy. This guy knows more about sound than anybody I know. We've traveled together. We've been around the country a little bit. When I played in a band, he was our sound guy, and he traveled with us, and we learned a lot about each other. We learned a lot about running sound and about life and all that sort of thing. We had good discussions about all that. His name is Roger. So I went to Roger, and I said, you know what? I got myself into this project. It's a big thing. Can you help me with this? And he's like, what you got going on? And he said, 2 guitars. He goes, yeah, that sounds great. 2, a bass? And he's getting excited. Yeah, that's good, that's good. Drums? Oh, yeah, now I'm really excited. Keyboards, percussion? Oh, cool. We got singers. Now we got all that space to fill. We got people to the right, people to the left, people to the right, people in the center. The kids playing. So we can crank this thing up, right? So we can put some powerful stuff. About then, Mike Tressler called me and said, you know what else? I want to feel that bass boom right in my chest. You got to move some wind there. So I discussed that with Roger, and he says, yeah, we can handle it. We can handle it. So he sets me up with all this gear. He gives me some advice how to run it, how to set it up, and that sort of thing. I bring it all over, and we set it up, and it goes well. But it wasn't quite the level of what, you know, we were hoping it was going to be. It wasn't quite there yet. So I figured, you know what? I'm going to take my guy Roger and my guy Mike and introduce them. And that's kind of where we went from there, and it's been great. Roger's brought his gear. I felt good because this is happening, and I don't have to do anything, which is great. So that's kind of a story that carries some of the elements about what I want to talk about today. And this individual, we're in the series of Jesus and People. This individual, I don't want to tell you his name right away. I want to discover that as we go. But this individual did that a lot. They connected different people together. They brought things together. You know, they had big projects, and they brought a partner in and all that. So they got to know Jesus real well, that sort of thing. So the person we're going to talk about is, I'm not going to tell you. I almost did it there. So we're just going to move into John 1, 35 through 39. So we're in the book of John, which is one of the four Gospels. It's the last of the four. So we know that Jesus is going to show up here sometime. So if we start reading here at John 35, you can follow on the screen, or if you got a tablet or something, you want to open it up, or a Bible, that's great. The following day, John was again standing with his two disciples. All right, I'm wondering, at this point, I read that and I'm like, the following day, what happened before that? Who's this John, and what's going on with these disciples? So it's in the book of John. The disciple John is writing this, but he's not the John in the story. So we got two different Johns. We got John the Baptist in this story, and John the Baptizer, if you want to refer to him as that too, is just cool. And Michael talked about him last week. He had kind of talked about things that was going on in his life. But if you remember, he was the guy with the camel hair coat or clothes. He had the leather belt. He was he would eat locusts and honey for dinner and live in the wilderness. And he was the guy that would say, repent and be baptized. And then he would preach about this coming Messiah, this coming Savior was going to come. And he even preached that he was among them. And then one time, Jesus even walked by and he said, look, there's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So that's kind of where we're at. Now we got disciples. I have a pretty good idea what a disciple is. It's a follower. It's kind of a student type thing, but not necessarily a traditional student like we have. Our students would probably go to school at 8 o'clock. They'd be there till 3 o'clock, come home, eat dinner, do their homework, play, do whatever they're doing. Or maybe it's somebody who goes to night school or college or something like that, and they spend time at the college, but it's not always with the instructor. This type of disciple, this type of student, would spend nonstop as much time as they possibly could with their teacher. Roger and I, we spent a lot of time together eating and that sort of thing and understanding each other and learning from each other. It's kind of like that, where you spend a quality amount of time and really get to know this person. So if we move on now, as Jesus walked by, John looked at him and declared, look, there is the Lamb of God. Now, we've heard that before, right? Lamb of God. Kind of seems like it's Jesus. I'm going to nerd out just a little bit here, just maybe this much. I start thinking about what the Lamb of God meant to those people who were writing, what Lamb meant, what that word, what Lamb of God meant. So I'm thinking about that they were under the sacrificial system, so they would take a lamb, and then that lamb would be a substitute for God's judgment of their sins. So this is something that would act that they would keep doing, and hopefully they got to heaven with this act. So that's kind of where they're at, this Lamb of God. So, all right, so when John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. Jesus looked around and saw them following. What do you want? He asked. They replied, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? You think they really were interested where he's staying? We talk about that. We'll go on a trip or something and say, where are you going to stay when you're there? Oh, there it is. Or somebody comes to town and says, where are you staying? That's not exactly what I think they were asking. They were asking to be that disciple, to be that person who followed him around, who ate with him, who stayed in the same place. Because, at that time, you would be following your teacher around and there would be a lesson. You walk by a tree and there'd be a lesson. You'd have a conversation with somebody and then there'd be a lesson. So they want to be with them. So it's really, can I be your disciple? Can I be here? So Jesus says, come and see. Come and see, he says. So it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him to the place where he was staying. And they remained with him the rest of the day. So that, here's my nerdness is going to get a little bit bigger here. So I'm going to start thinking about why 4 o'clock? What happens between 4 o'clock and dusk? They stayed the rest of the day. What happens? What happens at your houses? Dinner. Right on. Yeah, dinner. That's what I would imagine too. That's what happens at my house. We sit down together. We maybe prepare the meal together. We talk about our day as we're going through. Maybe we talk to the kids. Yeah, we don't have kids, but maybe you have kids, and you talk to them about, you know, what was going on today. What are some good things that happened? What are some bad things, you know? Or maybe you spend some time with your spouse and make plans. Make plans for a trip. Make plans for a vacation. Make plans about what you want to do at the house. Make plans for retirement. You know, those are really, really precious times, that dinner time to spend time with each other. So I think that's what John was trying to say, that this was some quality time that they spent with Jesus. They ate with him, and they spent quite a bit of time. So I think what is happening here, when Jesus says, come and see, it's come and see how to follow Jesus, how to follow me. Come and see how to live your everyday life, how to bless the meal, how to do different things. Come and see over and over again. So, all right, so we're going to continue on with John, going on to verse 40. Andrew, oh, that's the name. That's the guy who we're talking about, Andrew and Jesus. So Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of these men who heard what John had said and then followed Jesus. Andrew went to his brother to find his brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Jesus. So here's a couple things that sort of stick out to me. First of all, Andrew is named. So after spending that time with Jesus, after spending that time, like for us, after spending that time in the Bible, after spending that time together, you kind of get an idea of who you are, a little bit more of about who you are, how you connect to Jesus. I mean, I study I study the Bible quite a bit, and my nerdness only lets me go so far because, I've been studying this particular Genesis for about 4 or 5 months now, and I'm on page 5. So it's like, you know, you really dig into it and you learn a lot about yourself and about your environment and the people around you and that sort of thing. So that's kind of what happened here. Andrew found more about himself by spending this time with Jesus, this dinner. My nerdness is now here because I start thinking about, what about this dinner? What would that be like? What would that be like to spend a dinner with Jesus? Would you ask questions? Would you have a million questions like, oh, da, da, da? Or would you just sit and listen to what he had to say? It's fun to think about that anyway. So Andrew then brought Simon to meet Jesus. Looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, "Your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas," which means Peter. So, it's kind of cool to me that Jesus is telling Simon that he's not just the son of John. He's more than that. You know, for us, we're not just a brother or a sister or a mother or father or anything like that. We're not just that. We're not just a job. You know, we're not just a mistake, anything like that. We're more than that. So he's telling them, come and see yourself in a new way. The other thing that kind of sticks out to me here is that Andrew, after spending that dinner with Jesus, Andrew comes away and thinks differently even about Jesus. He thinks, you know, before that it was the Lamb of God, which is like, this is good, I got to keep doing this, you know, this is my sacrifice so I can have a good life in heaven, get to heaven. But he comes away with Jesus is my Messiah, my Savior. This is somebody who can help me every day, every day of what I do. He can follow, I can follow him throughout the day, and I can, he can help me at work. He can help me with my family. He can help me here and all that. So a lot of different things. So I think we'll move on to the next situation here. So John 6, still in the book of John, 1 through 9. After this, Jesus crossed over to the far side of the Sea of Galilee, known as the Sea of Tiberias. Well, after what? So, what's going on here? So, you know, Jesus at this point, he would have been performing miracles, healing people, forgiving sins. He would have been kind of challenging the authority, the religious authority that was in place at that time with some new radical ideas and that sort of thing. So that's what's happening before this. He crossed over to the Sea of Tiberias. A huge crowd kept following him wherever he went because they saw his miraculous signs as he healed the sick. Then Jesus climbed a hill and sat down with his disciples around him. It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration, and Jesus saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. Turning to Philip, another disciple, "Where can we buy bread to feed these people?" He was testing Philip because he already knew what he was going to do. Philip responds, "Even if we worked for months, we would not have enough money to feed them." So, how'd Philip do on this test? Good? Bad? I think he kind of struggled a little bit with this test. First, what he did is he saw the huge crowd and overwhelming stuff that's going on, and Jesus asked for bread to feed these people, but Philip translated that into money. You know, we don't have enough resources to do this. We can't do this yet. You know, this is too big a job. I got to wait until I have enough money for us to continue our ministry, to continue going. So he was kind of telling them, you know what, we don't have enough money. So he was looking toward the world and the world that says, you know, this is what you have to have before you can move on to the next level. This is what you have to have. And then we got Andrew. Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, he spoke up. "There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what as good as this for this huge crowd?" How do you think Andrew did on the test? Middle of the road, down, up. He did, you know, I think he did a little bit better because Andrew, he saw that there was a resource and that he had a concern, but he brought both the resource and his concern to Jesus. And Jesus said, you know, it's kind of a way to tell Jesus, okay, this is where I'm at, this is what we have, this is what's happening with that. So I think, I don't know if you know the rest of the story, but this young boy and the 5 barley loaves and the 2 fish, Jesus passes these around to the people. There's 5,000 plus people there. Everybody gets as much as they want from these 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And after the end of this whole thing, the disciples pick up the pieces and put them into baskets, and we end up with 12 baskets of leftovers for this. So I think what's happening here is come and see what Jesus can do with our little offering to do big things. I'm going to get nerdy again, maybe even, not much. So 5 barley loaves. You know, why barley? What's up with that? So barley was a wheat, I guess, that you would make, you would feed your horses with. So it was like the bottom of the barrel stuff. You would feed your horses. And then the poor would make bread out of barley. So it's kind of the bottom, too. It's sort of all they could afford. So, you know, if we think about 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, and this little boy, this young boy, that was probably all he had. We know he wasn't rich because he had barley loaves, you know, and 5 loaves, 2 fishes. It seems like that that might sustain him for quite a while. So this is probably all he had. You know, it's something, he gave it all, gave everything he had. Even though he had a little, he gave it all. And then, all right, are you guys ready for me to get even nerdier than that? Is it okay? A little bit? A lot? Okay. So then you could start thinking about 5 loaves of barley and the 5 books, the first 5 books in the Old Testament, which are the Torah. So we're eating the Torah, we're eating the law, we're sustaining by the law. And then when they're done, they have 12 baskets, which could be the 12 tribes of Israel, could be the 12 disciples. Okay, that's my nerdness. That's why I'm only on page 5. So, so what can Jesus do with the little that we have and do big things? All right, one more story, and then we'll kind of wrap everything up. John 12, we're moving up to John 12. 6 more chapters. We're going to start at 20 through 24. Some Greeks who had come to Jerusalem for Passover celebration paid a visit to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee. And they said, "Sir, we want to meet Jesus." So, you know, why Philip? Why did they go to Philip? I think that, you know, Philip, here's nerdiness coming in again. Philip was Greek. It's a Greek name. The city he's from is on a northern peak of the Sea of Galilee. So that was closer to where these folks were from. So I think they kind of connected with him, but he didn't necessarily, it doesn't seem like he really connected with them because, you know, they have different culture, different language, different dress differently. They're just a little bit different. So I think what he does is he takes this to Andrew first and says, you know, tells him about it. And then they together go to Jesus. The two of them go together to Jesus. This is big. This is a big thing for Andrew, or for Andrew and Philip, both. You know, this is a kind of a big thing we got going on. I think if we think about our lives, this big thing could be, you know, something like maybe an illness or you know, a medical thing that it's so big, so overwhelming that you want to take it to a partner and say, "Let's bring this to Jesus together. Will you pray for me? Will you let's do this together?" Or maybe it's a broken relationship and you want to connect with somebody else, bring somebody else in so that they can you know, partner with you and then bring that to Jesus. Or maybe it's an addiction. Maybe that's something that's going on for you. Again, partner, you know, keep each other accountable and bring that big thing that's overwhelming to you to Jesus. All right, so Jesus' reply. Now the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into the glory. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat planted in the soil dies, it remains alone, but its death will produce many kernels of plentiful harvest for new lives. So I was hoping for a yes or no. I don't know. How about you guys? You think yes, no, or did you get the idea of, did he say yes, did he say no? I don't know. But I think kind of what the point here of this one is, and I'm going to let you take that. I'm going to leave that out there, let you take that home with you, and you can, if you want to channel your own inner nerd and kind of study through that passage a little bit and try to figure out what's going on here, something dies, something lives, you know, all that kind of stuff, just go ahead and take that home and try to figure out what to do with that. But I think the bottom line that it's here is Jesus saying, come and see what Jesus can do with our big things, things that are overwhelming. You know, come and see what we can do with that big thing. So if you've got something overwhelming in your life, bring it to Jesus. You know, bring it on. He can handle it. He can do it. So, all right. So what we're going to wrap this up here, but I want to leave you with something. First, like Andrew did at the beginning, you know, maybe what you need to do in your life, you know, think about your life. Maybe you need to invite yourself to spend more time with Jesus. Maybe you need to find some time in the morning to spend time. You know, get up a little bit early. Maybe you need to invite yourself to, you know, to do this at lunchtime or in the evening, stay up a little later and read the Bible or do that, or listen to music on your way to work or a sermon on your way to work. The second thing, invite a family member, friend, or coworker. Andrew is so excited about this news. that he ran to the first person he knew. He ran to his brother, you know, somebody that you love, somebody that you care about, somebody maybe you've had a discussion with ahead of time that said, you know, I got questions, I'm looking for this, you know, you can go to them, friend, coworker, anybody like that. Maybe you need to invite a small child. Maybe there's a child in your life, a child or grandchild or, you know, anything like that that kind of feels like maybe they don't have a lot to offer. You know, invite them to spend more time. Help them understand that, you know what, this is for you. This isn't just for us. You know, reading the story, reading a Bible passage, reading a story, something like that. And then invite someone unexpected, maybe. You know, maybe you've got a neighbor that you're kind of connected to, but you're not quite there yet, or somebody acts a little different, looks a little different, you know, rides a Harley, I don't know, anyway. something like that. Somebody that you're a little bit far away from, but you have this thread of connection. You know, what's that thread of connection? You know, what can you find that's can bring that person in? You know, I guess a couple other takeaways here is even if you feel like that little boy and you don't have a lot to offer, you know, I mean, Jesus, that can be brought to Jesus too. Or if you have a big, big thing, you know, that can also be brought. So why don't you take some time while I get back to the drums and think about, you know, do you need to spend time with somebody? Who should you invite? You know, is there a small child in your life or is there a big thing that you want to do?